Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I am Danielle Fairman, and I am starting it out today because that means Joel Clayfish is gone. So while the cat is away, the mouse will play. Is that what it is?
Absolutely. I think so.
So that wonderful voice right there is Mike Kretschmer. He is our right hand man. You're here. I'm so glad you are here.
Yeah. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks since I've, last week I was in Nashville, so that was a lot of fun.
Well, we were in Nashville for?
Actually, it was the Retail Meat Conference.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. And it was delightful. I ate a ton of meat.
Oh, my gosh. I had to smell wonderful when you walked
in. Oh, yeah. The conference, the expo part of it was unbelievable. It was a lot of classes, learning. It was a lot about the fields, the process, everything, and the herds of the cattle are actually on a decline still, probably through 26. And then you'll see the herds come back up for as far as beef livestock.
Yeah.
Pork's staying about the same. And chicken is actually, in the last 2 years, have been the number one protein, obviously because of the price points and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a little bit more on like the differences, corn and soybeans, and pork went up quite a bit because we exported a lot to China.
Oh, and, did we?
Yeah. And then Trump put a tax on that, and then Biden kept the tax on that. So a lot of our pork products are staying here or going into Mexico. So it's leveled that off a little bit, which is good for the consumer, not as great for the farmer. But I learned a lot and I ate a lot of good barbecue.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm. And, I'm a little bit jealous. I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of people.
Is it only in Nashville?
No, it moves every year.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Make it come to Wisconsin.
I wish.
I would love to go to this. It sounds like something I need to go to.
It was so good. There's a booth with just full tomahawks. They just cut it off. I met Paul Wahlberg from Wahlburgers.
From the Wahlburgers?
So, yeah,
from the hamburger joint?
Yeah, the one brother. I was like, whoa, that's Paul. And so
that's
I got a picture.
Neat.
I sent it to my wife. And he was a cool guy. So
is he?
Yeah. So it was a fun, good experience, but Nashville is expensive.
It is.
Kind of nice to know that they source their meat locally.
Yeah.
You know where their meat's coming from.
Yeah, it was a really good burger. I mean, I had ribeyes, I had tenderloin, I had New York strips. I mean, there was everything. It was a lot of fun.
I feel like this is the best way to start a podcast or a radio
show
is with meat.
Talking about meat. Yeah.
It's like that's one of my love languages is definitely eating meat, which is why I love being a hunter, because I can go out there and process it and get it all myself, and I know exactly where it's coming from. So it's absolutely perfect.
Eva Shockey was just on.
Oh, she's so sweet.
She's awesome. Yeah, she was just on national television talking about that.
Yep.
On and what was it on?
Was it CBS?
I don't remember. Yeah, one of the Today shows.
I don't think it was Good Morning America.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, she was on there with her boy. I just saw the little recap from it, and I was like, that girl.
Yeah, I saw that as well. It went live on Facebook. I remember that.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, to your point, beef is good, chicken's good, pork's good. Like, but I have a freezer full. I'm not worried of venison, ducks, geese. Walleyes, crappies.
Which kind of brings us to our topic for today, which I'm very excited about. And I'm not going to lie, I'm 35 years old and I had to do some research. Oh, and this lovely voice you're hearing as well is Michelle Ferrer. We've had her on the show multiple times. But the reason why she is on the show is because one of the last two times she was on, she introduced me to somebody. Well, not introduced. She said, you need to reach out to this lady. She knows everything conservation. She is a wonderful, wonderful person, and I'm like, absolutely. I love meeting new people, but unfortunately, we're not meeting because she is in her hometown, having a great time. So we have her on StreamYard, which we did last year as well with Anna V from Anna V Outdoors, which is fantastic. Which is making us do a lot more and reaching out to a broader area, which is fantastic. But we have Kenya Link. Kenya Link is the National Engagement Director of the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt. Now, that sounds absolutely fancy to me. How you doing, Kenya?
I'm doing good. I'm so happy to be on the show. I go back with Michelle for quite some time. I've gotten to know her through a previous position with AFP.
What is AFP?
With her, AFP is Americans for Prosperity. I worked as a grassroots engagement director for that organization for a little over a year. And I got to know Michelle really well through our obvious common interest of hunting, fishing, the outdoors. You know, we connected a little bit extra, you know, compared to everybody else within the organization. You know, we all have everything in common, obviously, but Michelle and I, you know, the fingers are, you know how you cross your fingers and you're like, yeah, we're like this. That's Aww. Michelle and I.
Oh, that's when so we, fantastic.
And I miss her. I miss her a lot. And
I miss
I'm happy
you
that
too.
I get to be on the show with you guys.
When work friends become outside friends
Isn't that
and
fantastic?
Lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. She was very excited. She pretty much demanded that I would reach out to you, which I'm glad I did. I'm so happy to have you on the show. So
yeah, thank you.
We're going to dive in right away. What in the world is National Engagement Director? What do you do?
Yeah. So with this new position, so I've been with IOTR, which stands for International Order of Teddy Roosevelt, for a little over a month now, actually. Basically, what my position is I am in charge of meeting a ton of new people to bring into the organization. We're a brand new organization. We've been around for a couple of years now. And actually, before I get into what I do, I'll just kind of give a little bit of a teaser into, I know that Luke Hilgeman, which he will be on the show, I think the end of April. I don't know if there's an exact set date yet, but Luke Hilgeman will be on the show coming up soon, and he's going to be talking about IOTR quite a bit as well. But so that's kind of exciting too. Mm-hmm. He knows you guys pretty well as well. But so what I do in my position is engage with a lot of people around not only the Midwest but around the whole country, just talking about, you know, what we can do as hunters and conservationists and anglers, you know, fishermen and women, to protect those rights and to, you know, make them be a constitutional right of each state in our United States of America. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, you know, all of our freedoms and all of our, you know, things that we oftentimes take for granted are at risk all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for a lot of reasons, whether it's political reasons or it's just, you know, the world changing. And it's hard to see, you know, at a young age, as a young female hunter, you know, I've grown up so fortunate to grow up, you know, hunting is life, you know, fishing
is
life,
isn't it?
Conservation is life. You know, that's just, it's a second nature to me. So, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's tough for me to, you know, see it any other way. So I really am excited about my position here to talk with more people and to understand what I can do to honor and protect those rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that's through, you know, social media, through talking with new people in the community, bringing new people into the community in the hunting and conservation world, whether or not they're already a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to care about it.
They
definitely
do.
People outside of it need to care. So that's kind of a general summarization of what I do. But yeah, I'm really excited. I've been loving it so far. I was just in Scottsdale for the last week for our annual IOTR event, IOTR 2024.
Yeah, I was looking at that on Facebook. It sounds like you guys had like a huge turnout for that.
Yeah, it was great. We had a very successful week.
And then you not only had that, but it says that Cabela Family Foundation, that you guys have partnered with them. What is Cabela's Family
yes.
Foundation?
Yeah, so basically, so I'm sure everybody who listens to this show has shopped at Cabela's before.
Oh, absolutely.
I actually worked there.
You worked?
Yeah.
You work or worked?
Worked.
Oh, okay.
15 years. I opened the Richfield store, yeah.
You did not?
Yep.
That's pretty neat.
Almost seven
that
years.
That is so cool.
Full time. And yeah, so I met a lot of those people when they opened the store. So
oh,
it was pretty cool.
Did
yeah.
you travel all
oh
over for Cabela's
no,
or just stayed in Richfield?
I just stayed in Richfield.
Nice.
I think that's about it.
Yeah,
they had a great employee discount before it switched.
Before it's
hands.
Bass Pro.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be.
Yeah, it was
perfect.
Phenomenal. And that's half the reason why I left part time. It was too much. And then they got rid of that as a good time to leave.
Yep. See ya. So, yeah, what is what do they do for the Cabela Family Foundation?
Yeah, so basically the Cabela Family Foundation is, you know, the Cabela family, and they made this foundation where they wanted to just give back to conservation and do what they could do to really, you know, make sure we protect these rights, which is right alongside of what we do right here at IOTR, you know, protecting the right to hunt, the right to fish, you know, mm-hmm. and protecting the land to do so as well. So with the Cabela Family Foundation, they actually have this TV show on the National Geographic Channel, and it's called Hard Truths of Conservation. And it is literally, oh my gosh. So I don't
wait, did you say the
shows.
Hard Truth of Conservation?
Yes, oh, okay. The Hard Truths of Conservation. And this show, you know, it's captivating for me because obviously I'm a big outdoors person and I love the outdoors and I love to hunt and fish. But I mean, the cool part about this show is that they are engaging people who don't necessarily understand the outdoor world.
Oh,
you
that
know,
sounds perfect.
It's people. Yeah. So it's people who aren't really engaged in the outdoor community, who haven't hunted, who haven't fished before, mm-hmm. you know, who people who don't understand conservation. So this show really reaches a whole new audience, you know, of worldwide hunting. You know, it's not just North American hunting. It's all over the world where, you know, Dan Cabela reaches on this show. He's, you know, the main character, the narrator of the show. It's truly great. And I encourage everybody to check it out.
Oh, I'm excited for that. I can't wait to look into that more.
Yeah, yeah, it's really great. I turn it on in my free time. You know, it's something that I've got access to because of Hulu Live, and I can watch
perfect.
It even if it's not, you know, even if it's not live. So it's nice. It's nice.
Well,
and
when we're gonna go
I
right to
it.
Break real soon. But when we get back, we're gonna talk more about our wonderful 26th president. And I'm going to actually have to look into this Hard Truth of Conservation because it seems like something I need to look into. But
absolutely.
When we get back, we're going to continue talking about IOTR, the Proactive Hunting and Conservation Foundation, focused on protecting the rights of hunters. Stay tuned. Tomorrow's Saturday, so if they pass that fifth the jack this way, I turn it up, down, up, down, up, down. We're just holding it down here in BFE, still rolling. Don't want to think about her, I wear a ring without her. Don't want to hit the karaoke bar, can't sing without her. So make them drink strong. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I am Danielle Fairman. Joel Clayfish is in Portugal. Portugal with his Portugals. I like how he did it on Facebook. That was really funny. But he's out there with his wife and his daughter. They're having a great time. Joel has a great time everywhere he goes. I cannot wait. I'm sure he's hunting or fishing of some sort. Which is going to be very exciting.
Did you see his video?
I did not. What is
oh
this?
Oh, my gosh.
What? Oh, wait.
Is that the one where he kicked over the phone?
Yeah, oh, that's hilarious. I was showing people at work today. I'm like, yeah, it's him.
Wait, I feel like, yeah, he probably did not do that on purpose. That was a complete accident. Knowing him, yeah. He's really good at
yeah.
He's really good at athletics.
Tumbling, yeah.
But I'm very excited to hear about his story when he comes back. I'm sure he's hunting or fishing as something, some sort. But online, we have Kenya Link. She is the National Engagement Director of IOTR, which is International Order of Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt is our 26th president, also known as the Conservation President.
Yeah, he was
from 1901 to 1909.
Big in the
yes.
outdoors.
You betcha.
I definitely did Google this. No shame. But I did know he was our Conservation President. I did know that, but I didn't know when it happened. But one of the other wonderful things I learned about him is he created 5 new national parks, which I what? That's pretty cool. I did not know he did that. Did you? Oh, hey, Kenya, did you know he did that?
I actually did. In college, I took a ton of elective courses in, you know, like ecological studies just for fun because I've always loved that.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, he was a huge, you know, focus in the conservation world. And so was Aldo Leopold. He's got a really cool background. If you haven't looked into him, Also, I would highly recommend looking into him. He's a cool guy.
So I'm going to I had to look this up, but I found it very interesting about Teddy Roosevelt. I'm going to read directly from the website. It says conservation increasingly became one of Roosevelt's main concerns. After becoming president in 1901, Roosevelt used his authority to protect wildlife in public lands by creating the United States Forest Service and establishing 150 national forests, 51 federal bird reserves, 4 national game preserves, but wait, there's more, 5 national parks, and 18 national monuments.
What? And if you order now, you get a national mall. But you have to order now.
Before time runs out. That's money right. back guaranteed. But that's absolutely fantastic. Do you have anything else to add to how wonderful Teddy Roosevelt is?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why IOTR stands for the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt. You know, we really focus on living like Teddy, being like Teddy. We run a social media campaign, hashtag be like Teddy, because he really is, you know, the monumental foundation of what the United States of America has understood when it comes to hunting and conservation and, you know, national parks and understanding species management and all of that. You know, it's an all-encompassing thing. He's really the face of it all. So we're really proud to, you know, honor his name and honor his legacy through IOTR.
Yeah, it seems like a very great thing to have. And when did you say IOTR started? Just a few years ago?
Yes, just a few years ago. So Luke Hilgeman, he'll be on the show in a few weeks here, and he'll fill you in all about that. He has a really similar background as me, you know, a little bit more of extensive of a timeline because, you know, he's been in the industry for a really long time, and he's truly great, and I'm really honored to work with him, and I'm excited for all of your listeners and you guys too to learn more from him. I think he'll be able to really give you a cool background on his career as well as why he decided to found IOTR. I'm going to leave that whole situation up to him.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
When he's on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to have him on as well. I do believe it's in 2 weeks that we will have him on.
Oh, okay. So it's sooner than I thought. So yeah 2 weeks then.
I believe.
Perfect.
So. But
okay, cool.
On our break, we talked about, the Hard Truths of Conservation. Dan Cabela is the narrator for Hard Truths of Conservation. It's an international journey of discovery, it says, and I am very excited. There's 2 seasons of it so far, and I believe there's 8 or 10 episodes per. So I need something new to watch. So I'm very excited to go on to Hulu, or I don't remember exactly where this is on.
So you can access it on National Geographic, but yeah, if you have a Hulu Live subscription, you should be able to access every episode.
Okay. My question is, when I'm ready to fall asleep at night and I put that on, am I going to stay awake or can I fall asleep?
It's really captivating for me. You know, even before my time at IOTR, I've been really involved with the hunting conservation world. And one of the episodes, actually, Dan, is at one of my family businesses outfitting locations in Tanzania, in the middle of the bush in Tanzania. It's a really cool location. He'll be hunting with Jamil. Jamil Jamal is his name, and it's with a Tanzania outfitter, and it's absolutely beautiful there. I've been there a couple of times.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
Danielle,
yes,
we
it
going?
Is.
So I
don't, when are you
Kenya?
Yeah.
So
you
a little bit of a background about Kenya. Kenya comes from a very, very long line of hunting and fishing, and Kenya has been able to take some incredible hunts around the world. Ooh. And I don't know if Kenya, can you tell us a little bit about your favorite hunt?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been very fortunate to grow up around a dad who is, like, in my opinion, absolutely crazy about hunting. He is like about as legit as it gets when it comes to hunting. I don't think there's a day that goes by that he's not hunting, and if he isn't, he's planning his next.
Aww.
I've been fortunate to, you know, right under his wing hunting in South Africa, Northern Africa,
ooh,
Eastern Africa, and then also the Europe area, and then all over the Northern America continent. I've really been fortunate, and you know, and it's really been a cool experience growing up in a household where we honor firearms and we honor
know,
the right to hunt.
Yeah, I did not start hunting until about 10 years ago, so this is all brand new to me. So I love hearing from people that actually grew up doing it. We're gonna go right to break right away. When we get back, we're gonna hear more about the South Africa hunt, because I get to go to South Africa next year, so I cannot wait to hear about it. Stay tuned.
Really.
I ain't drunk, darling, no more at 3 a.m. Mr. Bartender hit me again. Don't want to think about her, but wear a ring without her. Don't want to hit the karaoke bar, can't sing without her. So make them drink strong, cause brother C's gone. And if I'm ever gonna move on, I'ma need some whiskey glasses.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I am Danielle Fairman. We got Mike Kretschmer. We got Michelle Ferretto. We got Kenyon Lake. We got our wonderful producer, Anya.
Hi.
Hi.
So, I'm here.
Hi.
How you doing? Hi, Anya.
And of course, we have Bandit in studio. It's full house minus Joel Clayfish, but he is here in spirit, and I'm very excited. Before break, we're already halfway through.
I know.
I don't understand this show at all.
It goes way too fast.
Way too fast. We need food because we talked about your steaks and all the meat in Nashville, and now I need that. But before break, we were talking about all the wonderful places that Kenya has been, and I'm very excited to hear about the South Africa one, because I am going there with Joel and Dan Trewicki and a whole bunch of other people, which I'm pumped about.
You're not excited, are you?
No, this is going to be the worst thing ever. Okay.
When are you going, Danielle?
I have no idea. I just gave him money. I know it's next year. That's all I know. I don't think I do not believe he actually has picked a date yet. But we had Dan Trewicki. He is one of the founders of Northwoods Taxidermy, where I take all my mounts to go. And he said he was going, and I'm trying to do more with my life, right? I feel like I'm 35 and I need to do more. So he's like, well, I'm going. And I said, he's like, do you want to go? And I said, yes. So just say yes, right? Just
well,
say yes.
Let me tell you what. You will absolutely love your time there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who you're hunting with or when you're going, but maybe we can talk about that later.
Oh, maybe you can come with us.
I mean, I would love that. I am.
We got to go noodling,
girl.
First.
I mean, my name was Kenya for a reason, I think. I think my parents might have strategically chosen that name.
Probably.
Even though it's spelled a little different. But, yeah, so I've been to South Africa 3 times.
Oh, dang.
My first time I was there, I was actually 7 years old, and I was with my entire family. Mm-hmm. We had an absolute blast. And let me tell you what, as one of my, you know, core hunting memories, I look back on that and I think, wow, like, first of all, to go to Africa is such a great experience. And second of all, to experience it, you know, in the wildlife and boots on the ground, you know, out seeing nature and out seeing why conservation matters in countries that are not, you know, where I grew up, and countries that, you know, focus on conservation because they need people from out of the country to essentially just, you know, really infiltrate the economy and to really, you know, allow that industry to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important, and I think I really was very lucky to understand that from a young age, and I think that's why I'm where I am today, IOTR, and through my other, you know, work background relationships, and, you know, meeting Michelle and working with the NRA. I mean, it's really fueled my passion for the whole industry of hunting. And, you know, it's actually kind of cold there sometimes. You know, you might get cold once in a while. It might be cold in the morning. So bring a warm down for jacket.
That. I am ready for that. So yeah, I went.
You're a Wisconsin girl, you know, raised in Wisco. Yes. You get it.
I love cold weather. I hate being hot. I hate it. When I start sweating, I want to punch somebody in the face. I hate being hot.
Yeah.
The gym would be like a dangerous place to be with you. You break a sweat, you just start hitting people.
Oh, yeah, just start raving. Just
sweaty Hulk, Danielle.
Yeah. Just Hulk smash.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. During the day, if you're there, you know, through the July, August months, which is usually the hot time of year to go to South Africa. During those months. Well, okay.
Danielle not punching an animal instead of shooting it.
Yeah, run and chase it down, hop on its back. Yeah, most likely. Sounds about right.
Well, not the hot time. Like, I'm saying, like, the best time. Like, I guess I gave that the wrong slang terminology there. It's, you know, that's the most popular time to go is July and August because that's the best hunting season.
Yeah.
But it does get hot during the day. So, you know, you have to layer up and then, you know, prepared to layer down.
So you're saying like end of September-ish, early October in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yep. That's a good comparison. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe, so I had to message people, we are going in June. We're going in June, 2025.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So it'll be a little hotter than when I've gone. So.
Yeah. And
yep,
if I say
as cold,
if I say the Cat River Atlanta.
Get it out.
How about Cat River? Do you know where Cat River is?
Is that on the Eastern Cape?
It is.
Okay, yeah. Yep, I'm familiar with that area. I think that was the first time I went there. I was in that area.
Yeah, it says the majestic Winterberg Mountains, tucked in the amongst citrus and vast ranch lands. Johnny Fetting Safaris offers a unique experience in the heart of the Eastern Cape.
That's amazing. Cool.
I am so down. Look at that.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. And if you have time... Something I regret not doing when I was there is to go fishing in the ocean. You're right in the Indian Ocean. I did dip my toes in the water, but I didn't get to fish.
Well, I would love
to fish.
You're
right there. Yeah, you're right there. So why not?
That's pretty cool.
So when you went to Africa, what did you hunt? What was it like for you? What did you hunt?
Yeah, so South Africa, I hunted impala, warthog,
what about
gazelle. Kudu? Yeah, I did shoot a kudu. It was it was a kudu. It was a beautiful kudu. And actually, so when I was on that hunt, I was so excited to shoot this kudu. I was just, you know, I put the shooting sticks up. That's very common in Africa because you're out on foot and sometimes it's kind of, you know, far yardage and you've got to have that extra balance. So I put the shooting sticks up and I was just ready to pull the trigger. It took me a few seconds, you know, and I kind of scoped myself. I got a little bit of a goose egg on my forehead, but you know what? It was okay because had I not shot as quickly as I did, that thing was about to run. So I wouldn't say it was worth it, but it kind of was. Yeah. I don't know. It's, you know, I'm 50-50. I was not very happy about the goose egg, but but it was a wonderful hunt. And let me tell you what, kudu tastes delicious.
Ooh.
It's really good game meat. That's probably my favorite. And then I also got to hunt in Mozambique and in Tanzania as well. And I will say Tanzania is my favorite. When I was there, I got to hunt a lot of beautiful game. Leopard, lion, another kudu is East African kudu is the species up there. So it's a little bit different than the greater kudu, which is in South Africa. So,
oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a few different species of kudu. Yeah, there's a lesser kudu as well, which is hopefully something that I'll be able to get on my next trip over there. But there's a lot of species over there. And it's, you know, when people say kudu, it can mean a lot of different species. It's truly fascinating.
Yeah, I've shot a lot of them African animals in foam targets.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Stone Bank Sportsman's Club, you know, Ojibwa bow hunters, you know. T-Rex, too.
Oh, you shot a T-Rex?
Yeah,
T-Rex, oh, look at you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, no, someday I might get there. But when we first introduced each other, we were talking a little bit of where you're from, and I pulled a bear tag for up in that area. So ooh. I'm excited to maybe hook up when fall rolls around and you guys can point me in the right direction when I get up that way.
Yeah, Kenya, you do bear guiding as well?
Yes. So that's one of the things I've grown up doing since I could walk is bear hunting. So in northern Wisconsin, which is north of Highway 2, is basically what we like to say when you can hunt with dogs. And we are big with our hounds. We love to track bear. It is a blast up here. There's tons of bear. You know, it's if you don't find a bear in a day, it's because it's rained or it's because it's like 90 degrees in July, you know. Ugh. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous weather up here that time of year, but
mosquitoes
sometimes
and ticks.
It's too hot for the bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Bear ticks are out already.
Oh, yeah, they're bad already.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they've been out for a while.
Someday I'll get a bear tag. I just started putting in for mine.
11 years, so I'm ready to go.
Well, I have six preference points. Six.
Yeah, I pulled
that's
on 11.
And I got three bobcat ones.
Oh, yes. The bobcat's next on my list for sure. Oh, but the bear tags are phenomenal up here. Yeah, give me a call. We will.
For sure.
We've got plenty of guys, and we, you know, we just like to go. Like we like to be there and like bring you along for the journey, and you know, to be there for the hunt. You know, it's all about honoring the hunt and having that camaraderie and being a part of those memories and being able to, you know, harvest a bear together. It's truly an immaculate experience.
So I have a very. I don't know how to say this, a very random, weird question. I do love hunting. As everyone knows, I love hunting. I've never bear hunted, but I'm not saying anything negative, okay? Let me start out saying I'm not saying anything negative. But for me, I am terrified to hunt with dogs.
Why?
Because I don't know how to say this. I understand why people hunt with dogs for bear hunting and all that other stuff. But I just, for me, it seems sad.
For the
bear. Like, I understand why we do that. Can I come hunting without dogs? Can I request
no
dogs?
Yeah, you absolutely can.
Like, I don't mind hunting with dogs. I just, I don't know what it is. It just seems, I understand and I like that people do it. I just don't, I personally do not want to hunt with dogs.
They're totally different.
I hear you. It's a totally different, you know, sport of hunting when you're hunting with dogs rather than not. And you can do, you know, you can do bait hunting. You can try to do, you know, tree stand hunting. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. But the lucky part of Northern Highway 2 is we still have that right to hunt with hounds up here.
Yeah.
And truly, like, dogs, you know, in my opinion, dogs, you know, we're bred to hunt, and
that's
I think
definitely.
We all know that. We all, you know, we all have bird dogs, and we all have, you know, dogs who hunt in one way, shape, or form. And these dogs, walker hounds, blue tick hounds, they're all about the bear hunting life. It's absolutely awesome to see them, you know, in their element like that. But I totally hear where you're coming from, because I'm a big dog person myself. I mean, I have a 20-pound Cavapoo. Her name is Sydney. She's a squirrel hunter. She retrieves ducks. But yeah, it would really, you know, freak me out to bring her bear hunting. I won't lie. I mean, that's just the truth. But I will say, you know, it's something that I've grown up around, so it's normal to me.
Yeah.
But you know, from people who are in other parts of Wisconsin, I mean, let alone other parts of the country, you know, they're like, oh, you hunt with, you know, dogs for bear? It's, you know, they're hard to find sometimes. And I think that's the main reason. You know, it's all about scent and following their tracks. So, I mean, they're pretty elusive. You don't just see them otherwise. So, but yeah,
so
you can hunt them.
With the role of the dogs with the bear, they do more or less just for the scent. They're not there to, like, put the bear in the tree and for you to like,
yeah.
And like, we have two minutes till break. Can you give me a quick rundown of like the role of how it starts to, 2 minutes left.
So basically, you're looking for a track. You're looking for, you know, a scent, and they start to howl. You know, they'll tell you. You know, they're in the dog box in the back of the truck. They tell you where the bear's at. We wouldn't know otherwise. You know, yeah. Maybe you'll be lucky and see a track on a dirt road if it's, you know, a freshly, you know, graded dirt road. As Wisconsin roads are not always great.
No, definitely not.
So, you know, we really do rely on these dogs unless you're bait hunting, you know, and you're hunting over a bait, which, you know, is common with deer hunting and, you know, a lot of other forms of hunting in Wisconsin. So
most definitely.
So I guess that's my best way of explaining it.
I mean, I understand why it happens and why we use them, but just for me, I have not yet seen it. When we get back from break, our last segment, we're going to hear more about IOTR and why we should be part of it and hashtag be like Teddy. Danielle Fairman, alongside Kenya Leake, Mike Kretschmer, Michelle Ferretta, and Bandit. Bandit snoozing, of course, on the floor. My wonderful dog and Anya's favorite host, Bandit.
Truly. And Anya. Yep.
Before a break, we were talking about bear hunting and how Kretschmer has a bear tag.
Yep.
This is very exciting.
I am excited. Just to touch base, I did it in Canada. For a couple of years, I was up there helping a resort, so I kind of know the baiting side of it versus the dog side of it, as we alluded to before the break.
Mm-hmm.
It's two totally different hunts. It really is. It's like, it's the thrill of the chase versus the kill. Like, with the dogs, you're watching the dogs work. They're running. They're working hard. They live
so
for
cool
that.
To see.
Yeah, I mean, in dead-end roads, they just, like, some of these guys will just, they jump out of the truck and they go. And then you could be a mile and a half, 2 miles back from a road, and you're going back in there. It's crazy. On our
absolutely
on our killing time, one of our first shows, Ryan filmed his dad chase with dogs, and it's got our most views by far of any of our online shows. And it is like, people are like, holy cow, like running through cornfields early in the year, like you'll be standing there waiting the dogs, you can hear them coming, and all of a sudden a bear's 5 feet from you and then running. you're running past you, and it's two totally different things. So it's, I mean, my dad's killed a couple sitting and a couple with dogs. So it all depends on what, you know, I want to sit first, and then, sounds bad, but I don't want to burn a tag, because you get it once every 10, 11 years for up in that area.
I believe it.
And I do want to kill a bigger bear, but we'll see what happens. So I got some time to think about it, and we'll definitely have to, talk, and hopefully we can hook up when I'm up there.
Yeah, Michelle, do you have any bear preference points?
I have a bear preference point.
just one single.
Time will come.
Now, but I did buy into the lottery in Colorado this year too.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm hoping to, you know, pull a lottery tag out in Colorado and then plan a trip. I think bear meat though is one of the best bear meats. We're talking bear.
Yeah.
We're talking meat at the beginning of the show, and now I'm just salivating over here thinking about a bear burger.
Kenya, what? I guess no, I forgot my train of thought on that one.
A great story, Chris.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was so good.
I was thinking of. I had a question for you. Now I totally forgot it.
Now, Kenya, with bear hunting, is this like a whole family thing, or is it just you specific? Now I can't even talk. Specifically, do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, yeah, it's an entire family thing.
I need to be part of your family. Like, I love my family.
We all do, apparently.
I'm the only one in my family that hunts.
Well, and that's part of the cool thing, too. It's like, you know, family is blood to me, but it's also, you know, tradition, and it's also, you know, it's camaraderie. You know, every year we get together for bear season.
Aww.
Every year we get together for deer season, and it's, you know, and it's a certain group of people, and it's just like family. And I mean, so yeah, it's my dad, myself, my little sister, Kira, and my two little brothers, Jagger and Jackson. I've been hunting with them since all three of my siblings have been born. Oh. And then my dad, you know, has had me out in the woods on his shoulders during deer drives since before I was even, you know, big enough to carry a gun. You know, he had me there in the thick of it. So it, we all, you know, that's 90% of what we do together. If we're not hunting together, we're all just sleeping so we can rest up to hunt.
And I remember creeping on your profile last year because you're an amazing sportswoman. You're just an amazing person from what I've seen on Facebook, on social media.
Thank
and right
you.
Now. But last year, I think I remember seeing you were at the SCI, the Safari Club International Convention, was it?
Yes. Yep.
So you're also part of that as well?
I am. Yes. So I go to those every year since I was a little girl. Both the local chapters in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, as well as the national chapters, you know, like the Dallas SCI and the, you know, national SCI, which is in Nashville now. We have a Lynx Wild Safaris booth, which is a family company.
Lynx Wild, like Jack Lynx? Like the most delicious thing ever?
Same family.
Like good snack bags?
Yeah. Yep, same family. Same family, different business.
Nice.
Lynx Wild Safaris. We're an outfitter, also a booking agency all over the world. My dad's a renowned hunter worldwide.
Ooh, can we get your dad on the show?
Yeah, he totally will.
So can we have a father daughter radio show?
Yes.
Aw, that'd be so fun.
We'll get him on here for sure. All we have to do is give him some heads up because his whole schedule is hunting and
done.
You know,
he's
always on a hunting trip. All right, we'll for sure do it.
We will talk after the show, you and I, about setting that up. But before we leave for the end of the show, can you tell us why somebody should join or look into or know more about IOTR?
Yeah, so basically, you know, here in the USA, you know, the United States of America, we have individual rights by state. You know, it's by state, and that's what our founders created. We're fortunate that they did it that way, but we also are, you know, the United States. You know, to make it very clear, we're the United States. So we need to really honor and respect the right to hunt and fish state by state. Every state needs to take that very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Teddy Roosevelt said it was, hunting is crucial to conservation and conservation is crucial to hunting. And
I like that.
That way of life is at risk if we don't, you know, honor those rights and we don't focus on protecting those rights state by state, because it's always at risk. And when we're able to make it be a state by state issue, then things change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can argue our points. We, you know, at any issue, obviously hunting's the most important to me in a lot of ways and for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But that's my spiel. I think that's the most important thing, is just to really honor it state by state.
And you know, not to cut you off, Danielle, but my question was for you earlier, is like the difference in the spring hearings are coming up, and we all have these choices of how to hunt,
mm-hmm.
what to use, different fishing baits, different lakes, all that kind of stuff. So if you're listening in Wisconsin, obviously, which most of you are, it is very important to look at that. And it's coming up April 8th, and look at all the different questions on the questionnaire.
Absolutely. Well, you have been listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm very appreciative of you, Kenya, for coming on to the show, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, our heritage is under attack, and IOTR fights to protect, preserve, and ensure open access to all wildlands. Be sure to go on their website to check them out and donate today. Thank you for listening to Raised in Wisco. See you next week.
Bye.